I don't know about you, but there's something about that song, The Great I Am, that wants to put a little pep in my step. I love that scripture. I know I've said this from this very pulpit before, but they sang it, so that gives me the right to say it again. It's probably one of my favorite scriptures. Moses is standing there, the burning bush is burning, the voice of God is speaking to him, and he says, "Who do I tell? Who do I tell the children of Israel? Excuse me. Who do I tell the children of Israel sent me?" And God says, "You tell them the I Am that I Am sent you." Heard something about the name I Am. Heard something about the name of Jesus. Things happen in the presence and in the name of Jesus. I got a devotional for Christmas. I was reading some of it the other day, and it talked about the I Am. You ever meet somebody new, you say, "Hey, I am Bill." Or, "Hey, I am Candy." You're putting God before yourself when you even say your name, because God deserves to be first in everything of our life. He is the great I Am. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Redeemer. And one day, very soon, maybe in 2019, perhaps in 2018, He's going to return. And He's going to take His bride home to be with Him in heaven. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. I'll be reading from the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, 29:11. Usually a very familiar scripture. It's one of my, I know every pastor says this about every scripture, but I legitimately mean that it is one of my favorite. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. You're a good person. Don't care what your mama says about you. I remember where I was the very first time I heard Jeremiah 29:11. I was a college student at Mississippi State University. That's the real MSU, if you didn't know that. And I went to a campus crusade event, and the preacher preached that night out of Jeremiah 29:11. And I read that verse, and I thought about that verse, and I thought, wow, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome that the great I Am, the day He was talking to Moses in the burning bush, had already planned a way for the Son of God to come and die on a cross, that a wretched sinner like me could hear the gospel message and be saved. It's a great verse because it looks forward to our future. And I thought, as we're getting ready for a new year, as we're getting ready to leave 2018 and head into 2019, I wanted to preach a message today on the future. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. This is the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah here. "For I know the plans that I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration. "Plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, that You will just use me today. God, open me up as Your servant. God, pour out of me what You'd want to pour out of me, God. Open our hearts and our ears today to hear the message that You have prepared in my heart, God. Lord, when we leave this building today, let us leave changed. God, looking forward to a bright future and to a bright hope only in You, Jesus. Father, we thank You for it. In Your name I pray. Amen. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." God knows. Two very simple words there. Two words that we often take for granted. God knows. God knows. He didn't create us to walk aimlessly in this world, but He gave us a purpose and a plan. And God knows that purpose and that plan. Moses' life was not ordinary. He should have been killed as a baby, but he wasn't. His mama kept him in secret, and then she put him in the little ark and she sent him down the river. And he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. We all know the story. And he was raised as an Egyptian. He was educated as an Egyptian. But he knew something wasn't right. He knew he wasn't an Egyptian. He knew he belonged to God's chosen people. And God used Moses in a mighty way because Moses was in God's future plan. David was the youngest and smallest brother in his family, but God used him because God had a plan. Esther was just a Jewish woman, but God had a plan and she delivered the Jewish people. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but God had a plan and a future for Peter. Bill was a hypocrite living in a cesspool of despair, but God had a plan. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you for what's left in 2018. And God has a plan for you for what's going to take place in 2019. How do I know this? You can look at the scripture. You can look in Luke in the 12th chapter. There's 2 verses in the 12th chapter of Luke. Verse 27, consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin thread, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass which is in the field today and is thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will he do for you? And then that same chapter, back up on verse 6 and 7, it says, 5 sparrows are sold for 10 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. Indeed, the hairs of your head are all counted. For some of us, that's a little bit easier for God to do. But God didn't make you to walk aimlessly in this world. He wouldn't take the time to count the hair on your head, no matter how many or how few you have, if he did not have something in store for you. You see, when Jeremiah was written, the Jews were in exile in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar had captured them, taken them back to Babylon, and there were some false prophets living among them. And those false prophets were saying, don't worry, we're only going to be here just maybe a year or two. We're not going to be here long. And Jeremiah says, no, that's not right. We're going to be here a long time. You need to go ahead and live life like you need to live. Don't think we're going to leave tomorrow. See, they had put their hope in false prophets. They had put their hope in these false teachings that they were not going to be in Babylon a long time, but they were. We often do the same thing. If I just had a little bit more money, put your hope in money. If I just had a little bit bigger house, we put our hope in material possessions. If I just had a better job, we put our hope in our career. We're focusing on a plan of me and not focusing on the plan of God. Go back, read the Old Testament. Let me encourage you, when 2019 starts, start you a daily reading plan. Read the Old Testament. There's a lot of good stuff in there. There's a lot of names you probably can tell me how to pronounce. But read the Old Testament. History. Every time the Jews lost focus on God, they always got in trouble. Never failed. Deliver them out of Egypt. They're not out of Egypt no time. They start complaining. In trouble. They get through that. They keep going. They forget about God. They start worshiping idols, listening to false prophets. In trouble. There's a pattern there. It might save you some time and effort one day. God says, for I know the plans for you. Plans for welfare. Your Bible may not say welfare. It may say well-being or something else, but mine says welfare. You want to know a funny? If you type in welfare on Google, it does not give you the definition. It says government assistance program. So I had to actually get a dictionary out and write down the definition of welfare. And it says it's an advantage, it's a benefit, it's good, it's happiness, it's healing, it's health, it's interest, it's profit, it's prosperity, it's success, and it is well-being. Those are all the words that you use to describe welfare. All of those words describing welfare is what I want. I want to be on God's welfare. I want every bit of it. And God is saying, I want to give it to you. He wants to give it to you. He wants you to have health and well-being and prosperity. Now, right now, I know some of you are thinking, hold on just a second. You just said we put our hope in the wrong things, and now you're here saying you want prosperity and you want these things. I do. Because there's a difference between wanting money and possessions and wanting the welfare that Jesus wants for me. There's a difference in wanting to pad in my pocket or to gain more for me than there is to want to be willing to live for God and do what God wants me to do. Because prosperity doesn't always mean you're going to be rich. Prosperity doesn't always mean you're going to have the finest things in life. Prosperity means that you have a risen Lord and Savior that you love and who loves you. And no matter what the world throws at you, you got something to stand on. And He is the great I Am. The welfare from God is not just about the world, but it's about the world to come. It's about that heavenly kingdom that He is building for us. It's about knowing that there's a place called heaven. There's something about knowing the welfare of God and how He wants to take care of me. I would love to spend this morning telling you all the ways God has... Me and Candy spent the last couple of days just, I reckon, reminiscing over the last 5 years of our Montana life about how God has just blessed us over and over and over. And when you're in the middle of it, you can't see it. But hindsight's 20/20, and when you look back, you're like, wow, God's pretty awesome. I do believe God wants us to be successful in careers. I believe God wants us to be successful in personal happiness. I believe God wants us to be happy in our day-to-day lives, every bit of it. And there is nothing wrong with money, making money, having money, or spending money, as long as your hope is not in that money. But the greatest happiness that will ever come is success, having hope in Jesus Christ. Now, the definition of hope was a lot lengthier than welfare, so I didn't write all those down. But I picked five words that were used to describe hope. Ambition. My ambition is in God and to live for Him more and more every day. My ambition and my hope is that I'm a willing vessel to be used by God Almighty in a dark and dying world. Anticipation. I am anticipating His return and how I will serve Him in the future and even how He will bless me. Yes, I anticipate God's blessing on me. It may not be with a new vehicle. It may not be with a $1 million job. It may not be with a 47,000 square foot dream house. And there's one of those for sale in Montana if you want to buy it. But I anticipate that God will bless me. Because when you're a willing servant of God, God blesses you. Conviction. I want to be so strongly convicted by God for the lost that I'm up at night praying for lost people that I don't even know. I want to be so strong convicted in hope that they'll come to know Jesus Christ that I can't sleep at night. Expectation. I'm expecting great things in 2019 to advance the kingdom of God all around Red Lodge and Carbon County. And the last one I want to use for hope is promise. It will be standing on that eternal assurance of God's promise on my life that will keep me going in 2019. You see, you have a future and a hope. And when we focus on allowing God to be our complete source of everything, you'll understand your future and your hope clear. Now, I'm fixing to do something that I've never done in my life. And Candy just took a deep breath of fear. This will be the first time and probably one of the only times that I am going to preach on prosperity. So, God, here we go. So I want you to think about this puzzle here. My wife thought it would be entertaining for us to put this together over Christmas break until my son washed one piece. And now we have just a blank brown spot, but anyway. So I want you to think about it. If you took this puzzle, this is Beauty and the Beast, by the way. And you took this puzzle, this one cheated, it gave you a picture to go with. And you poured all these puzzle pieces out on your table. You'll need a little bit bigger table than what I got here. And you took your box. Back in the day, all you had was the picture. You didn't have the little thing here. And you just threw that box away. And you come back to your puzzle pieces. And you began to put this together. Would it be possible? Probably. Would it take you a really long time? Yes. But you could do it. I got faith in you. You could do it. And you began to work and you began to do the outline. That's how we do it. We do the outline first. And then we work into the middle, trying to put those puzzle pieces together. You could do it. I got faith in you. It's going to take a long time. You're probably going to get really frustrated because I had the picture and I had to quit 3 or 4 times. I even had to get my little handy dandy tactical flashlight out and look at the pieces because it's so dark I couldn't see them. But you can do it. Likewise, when we read verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you," this is the Lord's declaration, "plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Man, awesome God. God's going to bless me, and God's going to give me everything I want. And, ooh, let me make my Christmas list, and ooh, a new Z71 God, and a new pistol God. And, well, I reckon we can get the kids a few things too, but let's get back to me, God. A little bit more raise at the school would be nice, God. And we start listing all these things, because God's going to bless me. That's what it says. He's got a future and a hope for me. He's got my welfare in His hands. I'm going to have everything I want, right? A lot of people read verse 29 and 11, and we stop right there. We end it right there. That night I first heard it at Mississippi State University, that pastor never went verse 11, past verse 11. It was several years later before I went past verse 11. Let me read verses 12 and 13 to you. "You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you." This is the Lord's declaration. You see, when we call on God, when we pray to God, when we seek God with all our heart, I'm here to tell you, write it down, December the 2018, Bill Harbison said this. When you seek God and you pray for God and you search for God, He will give you the desires of your heart. Write it down. But the thing is, you got to understand, when you really start seeking and searching God, the desires of your heart is not going to be worldly possessions. The desires of your heart is not going to be a bigger and better anything. The desires of your heart is not going to be anything about you, but it's going to be about the lost person you met at the coffee shop. It's going to be about your brother and you don't know if he's going to hell if he dies today. It's going to be about the person that you see every day, but you don't know where their destination is. That's going to become the desire of your heart when you seek God. And when you seek God, having worldly possessions, China just go away. And it don't matter. Because if it means one more person can come to know Jesus, you'll sell everything you have to tell one more person. That's the desires of your heart. Yes, God wants to bless you and He wants to pour out on you great blessings. He wants your heart to be so filled with joy and for you to have everything you want. To reach that, you must search God and you must call on God. And He will give you that. Just don't be surprised when your desires change. Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart." We live in a nation of right now. Give it to me. How many of you got Amazon Prime? If you live in Red Lodge, it don't work, but everywhere else in America, it works. Two-day delivery. If you live in Seattle, they can deliver it within 2 hours to your house, almost everything. Red Lodge, you're lucky if you get it in 7 days. Walmart, go online. If you don't know you can do this, let me educate you. Go on, Sam's Club does the same thing. Place your order, type in your credit card, and drive up on Walmart. It's a little yellow end of the building. They'll bring it out to your car. You're done shopping. You do have to go in at Sam's and get it and then come outside. We live in a world where we want it right now. We want it yesterday. If I didn't have it yesterday, it's old news. We want it right now. Because we're focusing on false prophet hope. Because we're putting all of our focus and we're putting all of our hope in something that's not real. Because the Bible says don't put your treasures where moth and rust can destroy. But put your treasure where thieves cannot touch it. Put your treasure in heaven. Let's go back to this puzzle one more time. Now what if you'd have kept the cover? What if you'd have kept your box? See, this one comes with a cheat sheet. If you'd have kept your picture, it'd have been a lot easier to put this puzzle together when you got something to look at. We have something to look at. It says it right there. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." In 2019, I want all of us to seek God more. I want everybody in this church to seek God more in 2019 than you've ever seek God before in your life. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 75 years or if you've been a Christian for 75 days. I want you to seek God more in 2019 because God has a future and a hope and a plan for your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out blessings on you. But it may not be in monetary gain. It may not be in worldly possessions. It may be in the simple fact that that person you've been talking to about Jesus now for so long, like that girl on that video, comes to know Jesus Christ. I'll take that over money any day of the week. I'll take that over a new house or a new car any day of the week to know that one more person will walk down the streets of gold and bow at the feet of Jesus. He gives you the picture. He's giving you your future. You seek God. You seek for Him. If we keep the cover, we can now see how it should look. Let's keep God. Let's seek Him more so that our welfare is in Him. Let's pray more so that our hope is in Him. Let's do everything we can in 2019 to glorify the name of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, this time next year, it's going to be the same thing. 2019 is going to end. And I'd love to be able to pull you, I'd love for you to pull me to the side and say, "Bill, in the last year, I've seen at least one person come to know Jesus." You going to talk about a fat man jump? I'll levitate. Because that would be more to me than anything else you could say. In 2019, we have less than 38 hours left in 2018. It's gone. You still got time. Don't get me wrong. You got time to witness to people. But as we get ready for this new year, if we get ready for midnight on Tuesday morning, let's prepare our hearts and let's begin to seek God. Let me encourage you, if you don't have a Bible reading plan, find you one. If you have a smartphone, they have apps. Get you an app. I have hundreds of them I can print off and give to you if you don't have one. But let me encourage you to seek God in the Scripture. Let me encourage you to read your Bible more than you've ever read it. Don't just read it. Eat it. Eat it. Digest it. Absorb it into your body so that you will know and be able to use every word for Scripture, to use, to speak to another person. And I want you to pray. Funny how God works in mysterious ways. Lee ordered some books and he sent them to the wrong address. They didn't end up in Loosedale, Mississippi. They ended up in Red Lodge, Montana, at my house. Which is his house, technically. But, so I called him. I said, "Hey, dude, you just got some books. You want me to mail them?" He said, "No, I'll get them when I come up for that wedding." And then he said the dumbest thing. He said, "Why don't you read them four books before I get there in a month?" And I didn't laugh in his face. I waited till I got off the phone. But I picked one up and I started reading it this week. And it's all about prayer. It's all about praying. Let me encourage you to pray more in 2019 than you've ever prayed. Because I'm here to tell you, the gates of hell cannot stand against a prayerful warrior of God. The gates of hell cannot stand when you literally take this word and you eat it and you digest it and you're able to use it against Satan. God has a plan. He wants to bless you so much in 2019. But not monetarily, not physically with possessions, but with the desire to see lost people come to know Him. That's my desire for 2019. As Cameron and the worship team comes back up this morning, they're going to begin to play and sing. If you want to come up to this altar, I want you to know that this altar, this stage, and you just want to come pray that God will use you more in 2019 than He's ever used you, you don't got to come talk to me if you don't want to. Come up here and kneel and begin to pray. Kneel right there at your seat. Sit right there in your seat. I don't care. Begin to pray that God will use you in an awesome way in 2019. That you will see lost people come to know Jesus. Because you're seeking God and you're praying to God and you're asking God to put people in your life that don't know Him as Lord and Savior. And you're eating and digesting the Word of God so when they come to you, you'll know when and how and what to say. I pray, that's my prayer over this church this year. But maybe you are that lost person. And maybe nobody's ever introduced you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I ain't nothing better to do on the last Sunday of the year than to let me introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The great I Am that spoke to Moses is the same great I Am that spread His arms on a cross and died for you. Let's go into 2019 celebrating God, celebrating our church, but celebrating what God is going to do in your life. This altar is open. I'll ask you to stand as they begin to sing and play. You come down and be obedient to God. If He has spoken to you today, speak back.